Hey, welcome to Hope Church. Hope at Home. We're so glad you're with us. We are so glad you're here with us today. And if you want us to know that you're here, I sure want to know that you're here. There's a card in the back seat of your chair in front of you. Just fill that out, pop it in that lockbox right back there, and I would love to get that from you. Love to meet you, talk to you. By the way, I am Pastor Kevin St. Clair. I'm one of the pastors here at church. You saw kind of the other two guys. They're a little bit nutty. I'm glad I didn't have to wear a burrito suit today, though. I mean, if it wasn't my day to preach, I probably would have had to do that. So, woo! I'm actually kind of glad I'm preaching. Hey, if you haven't been with us, we are going through a book called The Story. And you can purchase that. It's only $7. Great deal. It's out in the foyer. So you can jump into the story anytime, okay? You don't have to get caught up. We're going through 31 weeks of the story, which is through the entire Bible. We thought that'd be a pretty good idea for this year, and we're super excited about it. We'll be Pastor Jim will be talking about it on Wednesday night tonight. Wednesday night this week. That's what I meant. So we invite you to come on Wednesday nights too. So this week we're in chapter 7. Okay, and this is all in the book of Joshua. Okay, we're already that far along. And so let's get started this morning. Let me start by talking about Moses, where we kind of left off last week. All right, so turn to chapter 7 in those books if you have them. Turn to Joshua 1 if you've got your Bible. So Moses was unparalleled, right, in what God did through him. Unparalleled. In fact, it says in God's word that since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever known the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. We've talked about that in the previous weeks, but this was amazing stuff that went down. However, we left off in the story in kind of this heartbreaking fashion, right? A whole generation of Israel died off having never possessed the land that they were promised. Why was that? They were afraid, and they gave in to fear. And instead of taking the land, they just stayed right where they were, and they didn't want to go in. And isn't it amazing that even if God provides all the miracles that you can handle, until you can put your faith in God, even when you can't see what the future holds, really don't have strong faith, right? You can see all kinds of stuff, but until you can believe God for what you can't see, right? That's what happened to Israel. Well, Moses died. How sad. How sad. But he prays that God would give the people another leader, and so Moses commissions Joshua to take over as the leader. And just before Moses dies, he speaks to this new generation, a new generation of people. Now, these are people who were 19 and younger when they left Egypt. Right? That's you guys. These were the people that are now grown up, right? And they were 19 or younger when they left Egypt because everybody 20 and older perished, right? Except for two guys, Caleb and Joshua, right? But these people, these young people, they saw their parents and relatives die in the desert because of their fear and unbelief. They saw with their own eyes God's miracles. Some of these people were just kids when they crossed the Red Sea. Imagine that. 6 years old or something. You're like, wow, crossing the Red Sea. They saw the golden calf that Aaron made. They heard God's voice on the mountain. They saw the radiant face of Moses. They saw all of it. They were just kids. So Moses had a few things to say to this generation. Right? He said this. He said, has anything so great ever happened before? Nothing. And then he says this. He says, all this has happened so that you may know that the Lord is God. You know, why does God do these things in life? Why does he do these challenging things, right? And put us in these tough positions of you know, having to have faith. Well, we're supposed to walk away from the impossible situations we face having learned a major lesson, and that is this, that it's all in God's hands. And so Moses tells him, here's what you have to do. You've got to love God with all your heart. You've got to love God with all your soul. And you've got to love him with all your strength. And you just got to follow his commands. And then here's something Moses also says. He says, you're going to cross the Jordan and you're going to take the land. You're going to do it. And this is really important because this next part I'm going to read, because there is a lot of death ahead in the book of Joshua, okay? This is important. So I'm backtracking a little bit here, but here's what Moses says. He says, after the Lord your God has driven them out before you, do not say to yourself, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness. No, it is on account of the wickedness of the nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you're going to take possession of their land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says this, he says, understand then that it is not because of your righteousness. He says it like three times, right? It's not because of you, anything you've done, that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. Go take the land. But it's not because of you. You know, we were in the, you know, stiff-necked people. You've heard that in the Bible. What does that mean? Stubborn. Difficult. You're stubborn and you're difficult, right? But God uses us anyway. You know, we were in the men's group this week, and someone shared this from the men's group, but there's a billboard, and it's promoting, prostate cancer awareness. Okay? So this billboard says, this year, thousands of men will die from stubbornness. And then someone took spray paint on the sign and said, no, we won't. Right? Right? We're all stubborn. Right? They did die of their stubbornness. We're all stubborn. So here we are in this next chapter of the story, and let's pick it up in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 we're going to start with. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And then he says to them, you know, no one will be able to stand against you. And then in verse 6, he says this. He says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And when he says, I swore to their ancestors, he means the promise that he made 600 years before this to Abraham. And Abraham, 600 years before, you know, he didn't even get to see this, right? He didn't live that long. He said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know I will gain possession of this land? And here's what God said to Abraham. He said that his descendants were going to be enslaved and mistreated, and that they would that God would punish the nations for this. Right? And that happened in Egypt. Through a generation of people that were willing to come back to the very ground that God and Abraham were standing on when they made this covenant. They were standing in Canaan at the time. The land across from the Jordan. And it was finally Joshua's generation that said, we're doing it. We're going to do it. We're going to do what God said. And so God fulfills his promises, right? He fulfills his promises through people who are willing to obey him. Instead of people who are wandering around just ready to settle for what they have. We need to be people who are willing to obey the Lord. And so God tells Joshua, hey, it's time. It's time to set your foot on the ground that I promised you. If you think about this, this was actually their homeland that they were going to, where Abraham moved to when God told him to leave his people and go to a country that you don't even know. And that's where Isaac was born. That's where Jacob was born. And ultimately, this is where Israel was born. And so God was bringing them home. And listen, isn't it time for you to set your feet on the ground that God has promised you? Isn't it time for us to set foot on the ground God has promised us? Isn't it time for us to step into the calling that God has for us? Right, if you think about these last few years, we've lost a lot of people. Probably all know someone that we've lost over these last few years, some to COVID. And we can't sit around, right? We can't sit around and wander anymore. We've got to step into God's calling. Amen? Come on, it's time to do that. It's time to start sharing our faith. It's time to tell people about God's promises, right? We cannot give in to fear. What's it going to take? What's it going to take for us? It's going to take strength, and it's going to take courage. And the Lord says this in verse 7. Again, he says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will prosper. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Here it is again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua tells this to all the people. And here's how things begin with this conquest, all right, of the land of Canaan. Joshua sends out spies again. Remember before they sent out 12 spies, and they brought back a bad report, and they never went into the land. Well, this time Joshua sends out only two spies, two handpicked spies, and they want to spy out the entire land, but they're very interested in the city of Jericho. Why? Because Jericho is known as the walled city. Jericho was the stronghold of this whole region. And here's why. The city itself was considered unbreachable. Right? It basically had a whole bunch of walls. And so I just want to describe that for a minute. It had a stone retaining wall around the city. And this first wall was about probably 13 feet high or so, just a retaining wall. And then on top of that retaining wall, there was another wall made of brick, and this was somewhere between 20 and 25 feet high. So already we've got like 35 feet of wall. It's pretty high. Then behind that wall, right, this first wall, there's this steep slope, this embankment. It goes up even higher than that wall. And then on top of that wall, there's another brick wall, 25 to 30 feet high. So if you're standing at the bottom, you could be looking at, you know, to get over the top, 60 to 80 feet. It was huge. And so how are we gonna take this? You know, Moses even said back in Deuteronomy, he says, Israel, that's what the first crew did. They're like, we don't, they looked at the wall and they just screamed. But he said, Israel, you're about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and stronger than you with large cities that have walls up to the sky. This is what he said. And that was absolutely true. Huge walls. And so this is why that generation said, forget it. Forget it. We can't take it. It's too hard. We're not doing this. And so Jericho was a really important city. This was important to take this city early in the campaign. Because if Israel couldn't take Jericho, right, then nobody's going to take him seriously. Because that's pretty much the hardest one, right up front. So, you know, as we just kind of paint this picture, Jericho was a stronghold. And I just want to ask this question, you know, what is or what are the strongholds in your life? What is a stronghold in your life that is keeping you from advancing further with the Lord? There's something in your life that may be keeping you from taking the next step and getting where you know you're called to be. What is that stronghold? What is that thing that looks like a giant every time you approach it? You're like, I just can't get over this one. It's too hard. You know, can God bring that down in your life? I believe He can. He can bring down the strongholds. And so let's just look at this wonderful story that's next, how he did that in Jericho. The two spies enter Jericho, and they're taken into the home of a woman named Rahab. Now, Rahab is an interesting person. She was a Canaanite woman, all right? This is the land of Canaan. She's a Canaanite woman. She grew up in the Canaanite culture with idolatry and evil practices. Very evil. I mean, I'm talking about child sacrifice. Things like that were going on, and she grew up with that. She had no hope. No hope in that culture. And so she became a prostitute. And honestly, we don't know why. We don't know why. Maybe it was like a family business. I mean, maybe she was forced into it as a child. We don't know how she got there. We know it wasn't a respectable thing to do. But honestly, it was just the tip of the iceberg for what was going on in the land of Canaan. And that's what we see here. One of many things of the wickedness of the land. And so it gives us a great idea of what it was like inside this great fortified city. You know, sometimes what we do is we actually fortify our sin. And that's what was going on here. And Rahab takes in the two spies. And she could have easily turned them in, and she could have gained favor with her leadership. She wanted. And I suppose if she was into making profits, she could have made a pretty big profit off of turning these guys in. But instead, Rahab decides to hide these spies in her home. And I want us to listen this morning to the words of Rahab from Joshua chapter 2, starting in verse 9. She says this, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." I mean, is that what you expect to hear from a prostitute? Unbelievable. Maybe one of the greatest statements of faith anyone made in the Bible. How is this woman who has made a living in such a way able to make such a profound confession of who God is? I mean, Rahab had more faith than the entire previous generation of Israel. But before God had Israel lay siege to this city, you know, he saw Rahab's heart. He saw her in there. He thought, "I can use that for my glory." And although those spies, you know, they thought they were sent to Jericho to simply inspect some walls, you know, God had other plans. He had plans to save those that wanted to be saved. And yes, you know, God is taking the land. Israel's taking the land. And yes, people die in this book. A lot of people. But this has been centuries in the making. God promised this would happen 600 years before. And these people, their ancestors who served idols then, they were still serving them now. They never got any better. They only got worse and worse and worse until God finally said, that's it. Not putting up with anymore. And this next part is one of the most beautiful parts of the whole Bible. Rahab makes a deal. Rahab makes a deal. She says to the spies, she says, "Your life for my life. Your life for my life." You know, when I think of our Savior, Jesus Christ, He has always offered us the same exact deal, right? God's made a promise to us all that if we would trust Him by believing in Jesus Christ, our wretched past will be forgiven. Amen. And we can be pulled out of the strongholds of sin. But how many people haven't taken Him up on that? How many people do you know? Your life for my life. Think about that. And so Rahab says, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign. And they make the deal that if Rahab will hang a scarlet cord out of her window and she will honor her words, then they will spare her life. That's all she has to do. Just honor her words. Now just think about this, okay? This deal was just struck, all right? You have to admit that this deal would have never been made this way had anyone known what God's plan was for the city of Jericho, right? His plan was to bring down the walls of Jericho. But Rahab's house was built into the walls of Jericho. So there's no way they're making that plan if they know that that's the plan. Right? In fact, the spies escaped out the window because it was in the wall. They didn't know God's plan. She didn't know God's plan. But here's what she knew. She knew she was stuck. She was stuck in the wall. She had no way out, right? To give up the men, the spies, meant that Israel would destroy her if they took the city. To hide the men meant that she's risking her whole family anyway. She's stuck in the wall. And you know, sometimes we find ourselves right at that point in life where we're stuck in a stronghold. We don't have a way out. What do we do? Sometimes that's where you find yourself. Sometimes that's where God finds us. And it's just like the walls are getting tighter, right? And the tension is building, and I don't know what to do. I'm running out of room. And Rahab makes a deal with Israel. Well, we know what happens. The spies escape, right, out the window. They go back. They're able to tell Rahab's story to Joshua, basically that everybody is terrified of us. Let's go, right? So she really helped, like, stir up Israel to go take them. They find that the people are more afraid of them. And so the whole nation crosses the Jordan River, and they return at the doorstep of Jericho, ready to take the city. They march around the city, right? You know the story. They blow the trumpets. You know, they shout the victory cry. They do everything that Joshua commanded. And that last day, you know, as they march around the city seven times, I'm sure that everybody must have seen a single scarlet cord hanging out the window. It was a desperate cry for salvation. Then it was the only way out. Well, you think if people heard Rahab's story, they would have all thrown a cord out the window, right? I'm throwing a red cord out. I want to be saved. But there was just one window. And the walls fall down. But what happens to Rahab? Well, if you do some research, if you look into the excavations of the city of Jericho and the archaeological digs and stuff, they found huge piles of bricks. Right? In the mid-1900s, they found huge piles of bricks. Those huge walls of bricks had fallen down that steep embankment, right? Basically a bow, like that. And they formed a ramp. And so Israel was able to run straight into the city, just as God said they would be able to. And so those strongholds that Jericho made worked against them. And Israel takes the city. Here's what else they found. As they excavated the northern side, the northern section of the wall, they found a couple rooms. They were 8 feet high, and they had not collapsed. So there was a couple rooms in the wall that never collapsed. No doubt this was Rahab's house. So just think about this, okay? God, in his faithfulness to this agreement, to this covenant made with Rahab, he does not bring down her house. He saves her, but he brings down the rest of the wall. He's somehow able to keep her house intact. That is incredible. And this Canaanite woman and her entire family become a part of the family of Israel. And by the way, if you go through the story in chapter 7, you'll find that Rahab asked God to spare her mother and her father, her sisters and her brothers, and their entire families. So if you can imagine the scene, her house was crammed. You know, there's probably like a leg sticking out of the window. I mean, anybody who could cram in Rahab's little house was saved. We had a big family that we brought out of Jericho. Pretty amazing. I'm just going to wrap up this section. There's so much more that happens in this chapter, but this victory at Jericho it's so significant because the fall of Jericho, after the fall of Jericho, all the kings, basically, of the whole land, they make war against Israel. They know, like, they have to drive them out or they're toast, right? And so all of the kings come, and the rest of the chapter is like desperate battles. Battling. Sometimes life feels like that, huh? Trying to get to the promised land, we're just battling all the time. Every day's a battle. That's what they did. They battled. Most of the kings joined forces, and they were too numerous to count, and they could not stand up to Joshua. They could not stand up to Israel. Joshua tells us in chapter 11, except for the Hivites living in Gibeon, those were the Gibeonites who actually deceived Israel and made a treaty with them, right? Except for that one tribe, not one city made a treaty of peace with the Israelites. And they took them all in battle. Nobody tried to make peace. They all just waged war against Israel. They fought against God. And nobody wanted to make peace. They were just stubborn. They just stubbornly fought against them until they died. And at the end of Joshua's life, we understand a great lesson found in Joshua chapter 21. starting in verse 43, it says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. Every promise God made, he fulfilled. God will not fail in accomplishing his will on earth." Amen. But in that process, he has been very patient to give each family the chance to be saved. Just like Rahab's family. What made Rahab's family different than all the other families? This is what it was. They were able to see that the Lord was God. They were able to submit themselves to him, and they followed. They followed him, and they were saved. And you know, there's so much to talk about with Rahab. She had such a wonderful heritage after this time. Her life was completely changed after she was rescued from this stronghold. And you can find her name in the lineage leading up to King David and in the lineage leading up to Jesus Christ. You can find her name in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, where they talk about all the people of great faith. You know, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua and all these guys. And Rahab, she's there. And I just want to close with this. You know, one day God is going to return, right? Jesus is coming back and he's going to roll through the earth again. And it's going to be a day of judgment. But there's a way to be saved from utter destruction. There's a scarlet cord for you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus offers it to you. He says, "Your life for my life. Your life for my life." Amen. Worship team, do you guys have another song? Yeah, come on up. You guys can start making your way up. You know, Jesus has already given his life. He's already put it out there. Now you got to decide what to do with your life. He gave his life. You have to decide what you're going to do with your life. I think it's a pretty good trade. Eternity with him. Let's pray while you guys are getting ready. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you made a way. I just think of Rahab just being stuck in that little room. And there was nowhere to go and nothing left to do. All of her avenues were exhausted. There was nothing left except to strike a deal. Now, we don't have to do that. You've already made that deal. You've put yourself out there on the cross to say, if we would accept you into our hearts, we will be saved. You are the God who accomplishes his will. You are the God who comes through on all your promises. And we can trust you, Lord. Help us, God, to be careful to obey your word. Lord, help us to be the generation that wants to walk with you, that wants to take the land, that wants to obey your word. Thank you, Lord. Amen.